I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A very pleasant Wednesday afternoon to all of you listening from your friends Grant and Danny. March 27, 2024. We are one day away from the Washington Nationals inaugurating a brand new season. Caps got a huge win last night. The hottest team in the East, the Wizards, looks for a fourth straight victory this evening. Washington Commanders continuing to prepare for the draft, where they are at Jaden Daniels Pro Day today in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's a good time to be a D.C. sports fan.
Yeah, head on a swivel. A lot of news, a lot of things that are happening. Ted posted a big thank you note last night on his Twitter, Elon's app account, whatever you want to call it, thanking folks and the big renewals for season tickets for the Capitals and some for the Wizards, apparently. That's great. But everything's very interesting. I'm very interested in a lot of things right now. That's what I'll say. That was fun last night, though.
What does that mean, everything's very interesting?
There's lots of intrigue. Adam Peters dapped up Jaden Daniels. That's very interesting. Ted Leonsis is thanking people with 12 games left in the Capitals season after a fun win last night. Mentioning D.C., that's interesting. I'm just interested. Just have a lot of fingers and a lot of pies right now.
I smell your intrigue.
Yeah.
From miles away.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Let's start with Jaden Daniels. He weighed in today at 210. A lot is being made about his weight. I don't know why that is such a big story that he got to 210 today. To me, what's interesting is what weight do you play at? He plays below 200 pounds. Either you find that to be a huge problem or you don't. I'd prefer him to play at 205 or 210 because there's frankly no precedent of a quarterback weighing around 185 or so having a lot of success in the NFL. But people are kind of claiming by him getting to 210 today that he's plenty big enough, you can kind of move on now. You don't have to worry about that. It's not like he plays at that weight. If I had to weigh in at a certain weight and you gave me months and millions of dollars were on the line, I'd probably weigh in at that. And then I would start eating chicken wings and
that's right.
All of my cheeseburgers and my French fries again.
Go back to enjoying your
and
life.
And people on Twitter would be calling me fat ass once more. I mean, this is how it goes. So I'm glad he's 210 and not, you know, 196 today as he's at the combine. But it's not like he's going to play at 210. So I think if you have an issue with his size from when he was playing at LSU, you're going to have that issue in the pros. And not everybody does. A lot of people feel like, who cares what his weight is? If he protects himself, it won't be a problem.
So the weight is significant, I guess, only in the sense that it proves that he can at least get to that point, which is your baseline for being able to get to stay there later. Right? So in other words, if he can't, when the all the eyes are on him for that check-in, right? Like the guy that, hey, all you have to do is not have marijuana in your system for like for a couple of weeks, and then you go to the combine, and then you can do whatever you want. And the guy that can't even figure that part out, that's a red flag. It would be a red flag if today, when he was, you have one mission, dude, bulk up to this 210, and he weighed in at 191. Then we go, oh, crap. So I guess it's significant. Significance is not the right word. It's nice, but I'm with you. Of course, like when the rubber meets the road and you're sweating stuff out, you got a metabolism that works at light speed downhill, apparently, probably like his does. What do you play out is far more concerning to me than what you weigh, you know, before the draft. But at least it shows, okay, that's within him. Maybe that's the base that one day he could get up to and be a little bit bulkier. Maybe that's it.
So you're saying basically you think that if he was under 210 or certainly down closer to 200 pounds today, mm-hmm. it would have been a bad thing. But by getting 210, you don't see it as necessarily overly helpful. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as if, okay, problem solved. We did it. Move on to the next thing. No. It's a nice data point. It just shows that, you know, more time in the weight room, more time strength and conditioning, more time eating carbs, hang out with Grant and Danny. We'll help you in that regard. You could bulk up a little bit. That's what it shows.
So I can get behind that,
yeah.
I think.
It's a baseline.
I just saw today a lot of people that were essentially saying, well, he got to 210. That was the goal. See?
Yeah.
He's plenty big enough. And it's like, well.
Yeah, so that's a not so fast.
Talk to a catcher in minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time after a game in Bowie, being in their clubhouse. What was this catcher's name? I think his name was Caleb Joseph. It was like an Orioles catcher at one point. I'd have to look it up. But he had lost like 7 pounds during a game on a hot day, as an example. And over the course of the season and talking to him, like he would build up to whatever it was, let's say 190 at the beginning of the year at that time. And by the end of the year, he knew he was going to be like 179. Like he would just lose weight. He wasn't able to work out the same. He wasn't able to eat the way he wanted. You're at the ballpark all day long. You're playing in mm-hmm. the heat. And so his weight would drop. And it's no different, I would say, for Williams, for Daniels rather, or Williams or any Drake May or anybody else.
Yep.
They're going to lose weight as the year goes on. That shouldn't be the number one concern anyway. I know a lot of people talk about that. I get that we don't see quarterbacks that weigh that. But if he's doing the things that he's coached up to do, we should not be having a conversation about, is he big enough to take on contact? We should be having a conversation about, can he learn to avoid contact? Robert Griffin, the answer was no. He just didn't do a good enough job at that. Ideally, Jaden Daniels will. Russell Wilson's never been a big guy. Now, he's thicker, obviously.
He's stout, yeah.
But he's exceptional at avoiding contact. If Jaden Daniels can get to a point where he's doing the baseball slide and he's using the sideline, he's avoiding some of the monster hits that he took on in college in the SEC, then who cares what he weighs, largely? I guess someone may come back at me and say, well, in the pocket, when someone's landing on you, that Tony Romo collarbone tackle,
mm-hmm.
you'd like him to be 210, not 185, and I get that. But my guess is he's going to play the majority of the games in his NFL career below, and maybe even substantially below 210 where he was today.
Right. But, you know, so the hope is that he grows and gets more muscular and you know, adds some beef to the frame there to withstand some of those hits that are inevitable. Even if you're smart and great and awesome and thoughtful and you slide early, get out of bounds a step early, whatever, you're still going to take some contact. There's still going to be that time where you have to step up and make a throw knowing you're going to get popped, where the rib cage is exposed, where you know your midsection is going to get hit because someone's diving right there when you have to deliver a strike down the field.
He better plan on wearing one of those Kirk Cousins rib cage bits.
Oh, get you an Eric Flack jacket, dude.
The Flack jackets where it looks like you're kind of fat, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
He better wear one or two of those.
Yeah, put a pillow in there if it helps you. I'm 100% with you.
It's funny, though, because you're talking about, well, he may get bigger and stronger. I mean, he is 23 years old. Now, this is not the 21-year-old coming out of college. Like, you look back
True.
At when Lamar was drafted. One of the things I liked about Lamar Jackson, there were major questions about whether or not he would make the translation well to the league as a quarterback, but he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, in the league for 3 years, and he was still about to turn 24. Jaden Daniels turns 24 this football season.
That's right.
So maybe he gets bigger and stronger and adds man strength. I'm sure being in an NFL building will help with that. In fact, I'm positive it will. But it's not like he's this super young guy that is not, like, doesn't have his man strength.
No, that's totally true. Yeah. I think when it becomes a mission statement, when it becomes, like, by design, and as you get older, you know, I can certainly speak to this, that light speed metabolism starts to slow. And you're going to add weight naturally as you go.
We've got his pro day on here, and we'll discuss it in just a few minutes. Today is, if you are an athletic quarterback with a big arm, i.e., if you're about to be taken high,
yeah,
That's Caleb Williams.
I was going to say, I know those guys.
That's Jaden Daniels. That's Drake May. That's J.J. McCarthy. Whoever else. Penix. You name them. It's just a great day.
Yeah, the shorts and t-shirt showcase is great for you.
You just got to pick your jaw up off the ground constantly. I'm quite sure he's putting on a show as we speak. But then you turn the faders up with him. You know, his athleticism is elite and better than all those other guys we just named for the most part. His arm strength is plenty above average. You know, everything that he does is going to be top 25 percentile NFL physical attribute when you comp him to the 32 starters in the league. The questions about him becoming a great NFL quarterback are probably more about stuff that you're not tracking today when you're throwing against air in a pro day. But looking forward to seeing what is said from the people that are in the building as they file out when he's done slinging the football. We'll get into Jaden Daniels coming up in a little more detail about 10 minutes from now on Grant and Danny. Last night, we told you all show long, the Capitals played their biggest game of the year. They needed 2 points against the Detroit Red Wings. I would say that it went about as well as it could have. That's not quite true, though. A regulation win really was what the doctor ordered. The fact that they got 2 points, that they gained a point in the standings on the Red Wings, still massive. Their chances to make the playoffs went up to over 60% last night. And they got an overtime game winner from Dylan Strome. It was a packed house on a bobblehead night. Crowd was rocking, everybody donning red. It looked like the early Rock the Red Ovi Young Guns era for the Capitals under Spencer Carberry last evening. So let's play both game winners if we've got them. I want to start as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan with our guy John Walton. This was the radio call. Instant winner for Dylan Strome. Beautiful pass from John Carlson. Caps, biggest win of the season to date.
And the Caps do get it back. LaPierre's speed making an impact. Gets it to Strome. Across to Carlson. Back to Strome. He scores! Dylan Strome! Game-winning goal in overtime! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Detroit! Washington's lead for the wild card is at 2. They take down the Wings. 4-3, the final.
What a call by John Walton.
Boom goes the dynamite. Yeah.
You think he was ready for big-time hockey last night?
That was, by the way, thing of beauty. 3-on-3 overtime. I think the Caps had possession of the puck 97.8% of the time.
Thank God, because every second the opponent has the puck during overtime,
yeah, it's terrifying.
It takes about a month off of my life. And this is just regular season hockey in March. I'm not ready. At this weight, I don't know if I can do the postseason. I'm just telling you.
Well, that was gorgeous. So the Strome gives it up to Carlson, charges the net. You couldn't have stopped time and put it on a stick any better than Carly did. The little deflection goes in. Biscuit in the basket, game winner. That was outstanding.
What a pass by
Carlson.
That was
perfect. Come on.
They were up 1-0. Nick Dowd scored a goal. Former Grant and Danny regular guest. I still text him a pie emoji every time he scores. In fact, on my way to the game, when they were playing on Sunday against Winnipeg, I'm going to read you this text with Nick Dowd. I texted our pal and I said, I smell pie baking. Because I always send him the pie emoji. And I hadn't gotten to send him one in a long, long time. My last pie emoji text to him was February 11th. So Sunday at 11:21 a.m., I smell pie baking today. I got a text back from him after the game. I must have left it in the oven too long. Because he didn't score.
Doubter.
Must have left it in the oven too long. So at 8:54 last night, I sent him a text with the pie emoji. I was off by one game. Glad you took it out of the oven. Let's go, boys.
I love it.
Then they fall behind 2-1 going into the third period. But what does this team do? They get up when they fall down. They claw with their fingernails for that inch, these Washington Capitals. They are scrappy, my friends. Joe Beninati on the call. This was Monumental Sports on television last evening. Carlson to Stromer to the back of the net.
You don't see him miss too many of those passes on the Larkin speed. They created that 2-on-1 down low. Thank you.
Closing so that in here, Carlson for Stromer scores! Washington closes the homestand in style with an overtime win.
And the building was on fire.
Just a blast. So much fun. It was, you know, the typical deflating game-tying goal with right around 5 minutes left in the third period after the turnover on their own end. That just sort of felt, oh, like they were going to win that game. They're going to win the game. They're better. I thought they were out playing Detroit that entire third period. Obviously, they scored two goals to take the lead. And that stung. You could see how excited the Red Wings were. They were into it. They were fighting back. And they were just, you know, they were going to do it. And then the Caps, as you said, got knocked in the teeth, got knocked down, dust themselves off, played tight the rest of the way, and then dominated the overtime
period. How many times in this end-of-season run they're putting together have they been down going into the third period?
Feels like a lot.
Come back and won the game.
Yeah.
It has been constant for them. And it was right away, McMichael off of a bounce behind the cage, putting a puck home. He's only 23. Stromer, who just turned 27 with two goals, including the game winner. We've talked about it a lot. They've got nine guys on their team that have been skating that are 26 and under. They're having their cake and eating it, too. We all said, you got to be in or you got to be out. You can't do this thing where you revolve around Ovechkin and you don't rebuild. But kudos to Brian McClellan. I mean, they're figuring this out on the fly.
It is
right
a tough
now.
Needle to thread, and they're threading it. Like, they still lack, you know, this isn't a criticism. It's just sort of the state of the union. They still lack a couple, you know, big guns, like a couple high-end pieces for their top six.
They probably need a 30-goal score and a 20-goal score added to this roster.
I think a lot of people could use that, but this one especially, right?
I wonder if they would tell you Mareshnichenko is going to be the 30-goal guy and Hendrix LaPierre is going to be the 20-goal guy.
Hmm.
They're just not there yet. Maybe, but I do think they're also going to be aggressive and spend money this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have money for the first time. Max said on our show, you and I interviewed him, they want to bring Anthony Mantha back, but I'd rather, frankly, not even do that and just go find another goal scorer and use that money to get someone even better.
Yeah, here. But that's you know, long-term, that's neither here nor there. What this group is doing right now, Connor McMichael, by the way, is closing in on 20 goals himself.
Yes, sir, he is.
Just you know, with a couple great stretches.
Not too shabby.
Stromer's been unbelievable. What he did last night was awesome. That little, you know, off the deflection and that hands goal, just sort of flicking the backhand in to tie it. God, it is so much fun. Or actually take the lead. They are a blast to watch on a nightly basis right now. And I did not think that, what was it, a little over a month ago, right? When they had that huge losing streak in January or in the beginning of February. I can't remember which month it was. But it just looked bad. And something has shifted. There's been whether it's a belief, a buy-in, whether it's a paradigm shift, whether it's Carberry, I don't know. But I tell you what, whatever the ingredients are, you keep making it. Keep doing it because it's fun.
There's a little birdie chirping that I might get Danny Ruelle to Capital One Arena before the end of the year to see the boys in red. I believe you're right now in.
I'm slated to go, yeah.
To come with me and Kondori and Murad, a little Capitals hockey.
Yeah, I'll be out in.
Now, you know that's not in your living room. You know that
I understand.
You're driving to Washington, D.C.
Well, I'll be coming from some godforsaken barren wasteland 90 minutes away from my homestead for some travel soccer before that. But, yeah, I'll probably come straight there. We'll drop off my kid on the way, like slowly moving car, kick him out the window. The wife will pick him up, then I'll be Cap One.
Danny Routier.
Who's that, Chuck?
Danny Routier.
Handsome.
Can't wait to see Routier eating some cookies at Capital One Arena.
Danny Routier.
Are we in the good seats for that one?
Which good seats?
Well, the one, that's a great question. There's a lot of good seats.
You're not going to be in the seats I normally sit in.
Not in the Paulsons where your DNA is all over that glass?
You're not in those seats, no. We're going to be, I think we're in the 106.7, the fan seats.
Oh, Bazillis.
Which I feel really good about.
I like those a lot.
So I don't think I've ever sat in our 106.7, the fan suite at a Caps game. So this will be the first time for your boy. The little penalty box that we have?
Yeah, I forget what they call it. It's like a low J.
Here's the best thing about you going, though.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've ever been to a hockey game, a listener will come up and say hello, very, very friendly, very nice. And then they'll go, where's Danny? And then I'll go, I don't know, man.
Living is completely separate life from me.
If I had to guess, probably in his living room.
Yeah.
But I have no, or chasing his kids around in a field somewhere in Fairfax.
Yeah, I mean, I did a stand-up show. God, I don't even know where this was. This is months ago. Where's Grant? Grant gets enough of this at the office, man. You know what I mean? Like, Grant coming and going, let me sign up for some extra Danny on the weekend. An hour straight of him talking.
I do get steamed up for some Danny.
Yeah, but every so often. You probably need a break every now and again.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Was my voice higher pitched?
It went up.
You ready for tomorrow for the Nats?
I am, buddy.
We're at Rudy's Golf. Kingstown, Alexandria.
Here we go.
I'm going to get there and park in front of a TV right around 11:30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
B. Mitch and Finley live from 10 to 2.
Yes.
You know them. They're the fellows that crush it in the middays. And then myself,
yeah.
Danny,
uh-huh.
and Mr. Buffalo Chicken
Dip. Mr. Buffalo Chicken Dip is back.
Ryan Clary returns.
Yeah, to the scene.
By God, that's Buffalo Chicken Dip's music. He will be at Rudy's Golf. How many bowls of Buffalo Chicken Dip do you plan on consuming tomorrow before first pitch?
So I'm working B. Mitch and Finley as well, so uh-huh. I have to get up there.
We got to up the total.
Yeah, I got to get there around 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. So as soon as they open the kitchen, you know what I'm going for. I'm setting the over-under right now for just myself.
It's got to be 2.5.
2.5 bowls.
I was going to say 2.5.
2.5 bowls.
Because you would average 2. You had 3 uh-huh. occasionally, but you would average 2 when we were doing just our 4.5
Yeah,
hours.
So you did 2 for you, and then the third one was to share. Put that in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think 2.5 for just myself will be a pretty
fair line. Chick dip.
Mr. Buffalo Mr. Chicken Buffalo Dip is chicken back. Dip. We will see you at Rudy's Golf. Here's what I'm thinking for the lineup tomorrow. Darius, can I get a little lineup music, please?
Ooh.
Tell me if you think I'm wrong about this.
Okay.
Do we know, Ryan, who's in left field for the good guys tomorrow?
I believe it will be Jesse Winker, but they haven't officially said it.
All right. That's fine. So will they have Rosario in center and Winker in left?
He started there yesterday, right? Rosario?
He did.
Yeah.
Is that the plan? No Victor Robles in the opening day lineup?
They haven't really revealed the plan yet, but
right.
I think we're
going to
go with that matchup.
I'm going to assume that Ryan's right and Winker's in left. Here we go. Batting first, playing shortstop, C.J. Abrams. Playing right field, batting second, back-to-back player of the year for the Washington Nationals, Lane Thomas. Batting third, designated hitter, Joey Meneses.
Ooh.
That was tough.
Yeah.
Batting fourth, first baseman, ooh, coming off of a 100 batting average in the spring.
Oh, man.
Joey Gallo. Batting fifth. Catcher.
Catching, yep.
Switch hitter. K-Bert Ruiz.
Uh-huh.
Batting sixth. Center fielder. Eddie Rosario.
I got a little steam there.
Batting seventh. Left fielder. Jesse Winker.
Uh-huh.
Hitting eighth. And playing third base. For now.
At the moment.
Until Trey Lipscomb's ready. Anytime now, Trey. Nick Senzel.
Mm-hmm.
And batting ninth. We're doing this again for some inexplicable reason. Playing second base, Luis Garcia. Feel okay about that?
Pretty good guess.
Any major changes you would make?
The back-to-back lefties. I'm not feeling that. Winker and Rosario? I don't know.
You could tweak it if you want. You could go Rosario up a spot to four. Put Gallo down at, I mean, he's lefty as well, I guess, is the problem. Maybe they're going to have to put Meneses sandwiched between Gallo and Rosario. Maybe that's what they do. Problem is, they're very left-handed.
If
you look at it. Abrams is a lefty. Winker's a lefty. Gallo's a lefty. Rosario's a lefty. And Garcia's a lefty. I mean, obviously, K-Baird is switch. But theoretically, you're going to have back-to-back somewhere. Potentially. The only way to do it, if you want to go left, right, left, right, boy, girl, as I like to say, mm-hmm. is Abrams, Thomas. Then maybe you could go Rosario third, Meneses, Gallo, Ruiz, Winker, Senzel, Garcia.
You could make a Lane Thomas to the three-hole campaign. You could do that. You could hit Lane third.
That was the one mainstay last year was kind of you knew those top
one,
two guys in the order.
No, I like him second. I'm just saying, because your lineup depth after that top two, it's a little murky. You don't have that many impact bats
whenever
behind those two.
Whenever you're ready, James and Dylan. Whenever you're ready.
Just looking at my watch here.
Tomorrow's going to be fun. We're at Rudy's Golf. First pitch, 4 o'clock. Next on Grant and Danny, why don't we get into the Jaden Daniels Pro Day. Best and worst case scenario for his prospects. Let's talk ceiling and floor for one of the great quarterback talents in the country right here on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. Jaden Daniels, pro day today in Baton Rouge at LSU's complex. The Commanders, one of 32 teams that are there.
There's some interest.
You think there's some NFL
there's
prospects?
Some intrigue, yeah.
Some athletes at the LSU Pro Day. Every single team is there. A slew of head coaches, including Dan Quinn. Jaden Daniels, unbelievable this past season. The Heisman Trophy winner, the best player in college football. It wasn't close. By far, the most electric talent and the best watch. This was the guy. I get one game on a Saturday because my wife knows all day long on Sunday. Your boy's going to be sitting on the couch watching the NFL. So I got to do some family stuff on Saturday. What time does Jaden Daniels play? That was kind of how my college football season went many weekends when the kids and the wife were indoors at the house and we weren't out and about doing something. But Danny, 72% of his passes completed this year, a career high. 3,800 yards, surpassed anything that he'd done previously by 900 yards. He threw for 40 touchdowns. He had never thrown for more than 17. He had just 4 interceptions. There was a year at Arizona State where he had 10 picks in sub-200 attempts. This was 236 attempts and only 4 interceptions. And with all of that, he, of course, was also one of the best ball-carrying quarterbacks in recent college football history as a rusher. 1,100 yards and 10 more touchdowns. The last 2 years, almost 2,000 rushing yards and 20 touchdowns for Jaden Daniels.
When he dropped back to pass, his adjusted yards per attempt, AK, the ball is snapped, what happens? 13.6 yards per pass attempt. Staggering. Like, more than 10% of the field taken up every time he dropped back to pass. And that's just on the throws. It doesn't account for, as you said, 1,100 yards rushing. Just staggering numbers from this guy. Made college football at the highest level look like a joke. It's not. Some of these defenses that he was going up against in other games, they were dominant. Missouri was particularly good. Remember, we talked to Spencer Rattler leading up to some combine time, and he said, well, without a doubt, that Missouri defense was really, really good, probably the best we faced all year. LSU scored 49 points. Daniels was great in that game, as he was so often. For a team that, you know, was a couple close losses away, frankly, from being able to play for a national championship type picture. Their early loss to Florida State kind of was eye-opening. That second half, they got run out of the building, quite frankly. But other than that, this guy turned in A-plus work all season long.
Nobody should think that drafting Jaden Daniels is a bad idea. You hear this with people that get dug in with their guy, whether that's J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Daniels, Caleb Williams. It's like you have to bash the other guy. And if we're deciphering what they do well and what they do poorly, yeah, that's going to happen. Analytically speaking or based on watching games, we can go through strengths and weaknesses. That's fine. But what often takes place in this pre-draft season when teams are looking at quarterbacks is you pick a guy and then the other guy becomes someone that you don't want. This does not have to be that way, I don't think. Jaden Daniels is an awesome prospect. He is an outstanding option. It's a crapshoot. We don't know if it's going to work or it's not. I have my concerns about several areas of his game. But you pick at the top of the draft board, and you have the opportunity to get a Heisman Trophy winner out of the SEC, who had a 40-touchdown, 4-pick season as a passer, who made some of the big-time throws down the field that he did, who is as fast and just lethal a weapon with his feet as he is, that is a winning idea. You know, that is the goal. That's outstanding. In a year where, let's just say Drake May, who I like a lot, wasn't there, or if your guy was J.J. McCarthy, if J.J. McCarthy's not there, the idea of Jaden Daniels should make everybody excited. I don't like and I don't want this to turn into this fan base like picking of sides, some Sharks versus Jets thing where we draw a line in the sand. These are good options. This is the opposite of Argo. The movie Argo, Ben Affleck directed, won an Academy Award. Argo was the name of a really bad idea that they came up with, which was the best of all of their bad ideas to try to get Americans out of Iran at a time, true story, where they needed to do that. And the film is about that. And there's a scene where they go, that's a terrible idea. And he goes, you got any others? Basically, like, it's the best of all of our bad ideas, right? I don't know what the definition of the opposite of Argo is, what that word would be, Danny. But that's this. Doesn't mean you're going to get it right. You might get it wrong. But right now, all these guys are is draft prospects. Daniels is a special one. May is a really good one. J.J. McCarthy is a very solid one. Caleb Williams is an all-time generational type prospect. There's a bunch of them. It doesn't need to be that you like one and hate the rest.
Right. So when we're doing points of comparison, you can have preferences. But and I think that's normal and that should happen, right? I mean, that's human nature. The thing that I've been surprised by, as to your, kind of to your point, is I don't know if tribalism is the right word, but it becomes, if you like Drake May, you have to hate Jaden Daniels or something like that. And then the kind of the reverse is true. That's the part that's been so confusing to me. As the way I think of it is, I'm so tantalized by what I perceive as the ceiling of Jaden Daniels, I just kind of ignore the rest of it. There are things that should concern everybody, right? Including the guys that are making this pick. And I think that's probably true with every one of the prospects this year. I don't know if that there's a clean, full-fledged, bona fide, this guy's obviously number one. And even somebody that did fit that bill, say a Trevor Lawrence, I think is largely disappointed in his time in the NFL. He's been good at times, been really good at times. Also been fine, even pedestrian at times for Jacksonville. So there's no surefire thing. If it was simply a math problem, you would just do the math problem, take the next guy and, you know, go achieve. But of course, there's a lot more to it than that. So there's also fit consideration. I still don't quite know what Cliff Kingsbury's offense is going to be. Anybody that claims they do that's not named Cliff Kingsbury or in one of these meetings with Tita Pritchard and Brian Johnson and company is probably selling you something. You're basing it on something in the past. Did they run what they ran in Arizona because Kyler Murray's 5'6"? I have no idea. Is it because that's all he wants to run? I don't know. We're going to see if Jaden Daniels fits what they want, not only this year, but over the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years, then yeah, sign me up. If it's not, we should probably know that at some point, right?
I think here's a clear way to make my point. I really wanted Josh Huff in free agency. I made that clear. I think he's Bryce Huff, rather. Josh Huff is a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You could want Josh Huff, too. He hasn't really done much.
Right. But I really, really wanted him. I also liked and would have been okay with Jonathan Greenard, who was my second favorite pass rusher. I also would have been fine with Dorrance Armstrong down the pass rushing depth chart in free agency, who was going to be cheaper and more familiar to Dan Quinn and the staff. That's the guy, by the way, they ended up signing. I wanted Huff. Doesn't mean I have to dislike Greenard, who's also really good and on the market looking for money. Got similar cash. Doesn't mean I have to dislike that they went and got Dorrance Armstrong. You can have a guy. Everyone probably does. How could you not? You're a football fan. You watch a lot of college football. You probably, as a diehard fan listening to the radio every day, you're studying these guys best you can, like we are. Of course you're going to have a proclivity, a favorite. But if they don't get Huff, it doesn't mean you got to be mad that they got Armstrong necessarily. I want to get into what you envision, what I think, and maybe what the people on the phones see as the best and worst case, the ceiling and the floor for Jaden Daniels. So we'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. He just finished throwing today at his pro day. 800-636-1067 as the Commanders are watching him go to work, try to improve his draft stock. Today, what do you envision as what he ends up being and then kind of the best and worst case scenarios for him in the NFL? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
G&D here on the Fan, talking Jaden Daniels, floor, ceiling. Where do you put it? What is it? For me, I'll answer that question as GP wanders back in. The floor for me for Jaden Daniels is a Justin Fields-like arc, right? Where it doesn't materialize as a passer, ends up taking a lot of sacks. The athleticism is there, but misses some time because of injury and isn't really thought of as, you know, sort of one of your first options as a franchise starting caliber, we can win playoff games with this dude type quarterback. That's the floor. Is great athlete that doesn't really turn into a great NFL quarterback. The ceiling to me is an MVP candidate. We've seen it. We've seen what it looks like, right? A guy that can impact the defense in so many different ways, can account for 35, 40 touchdowns, over 4,000, 4,500 total yards when you add in passing, rushing totals. He's a guy that you're never out of it because you have him. That's the ceiling to me. It's a wider range than a lot of prospects coming in, I would say.
Yeah, that's why I've kind of felt like he's a little more boom or bust maybe than the other guys.
I think you have to say that, right?
But that's not necessarily what the draft analysts think. I mean, they seem to think that his ability to make plays with his feet and to run a little bit raises the floor, so the bust potential might not be as severe. I just think his ceiling is probably higher and maybe the highest of the group outside of Williams. Like, do I see Drake May winning MVP awards? I don't think so. I could see him becoming Herbert or Allen, and those guys could certainly win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But that's right situation, right year. Team goes 14-3. You're the best player on the team, and you win the award. It's very different than Lamar Jackson, a two-time MVP, where it's just kind of you're the best player in the league that year, and no one can really figure out how to defend what you do. And it's you're a weapon the likes of which we haven't seen before, which Jaden Daniels has that ability.
Mm-hmm.
My ceiling for him, I just referenced Jackson. I think it looks something like that. You know, a guy that could run for almost 1,000 yards, a guy that could throw for over, you know, 3,000, and who throws for 30 touchdowns, and an offense that's run dominant and off of read option and play action and some of the things like the Ravens do, that Jaden Daniels, who I think is a better passer coming out than Lamar was, by the way. I think he could be a better passer in the league than Lamar has been, in my opinion. Not that that's been an issue for the two-time MVP, but I'm more endorsing Daniels.
Right.
I think it's that. It's maybe he's not as good a runner in the NFL as Jackson's been, but I think it looks something like that, where he's one of the great weapons in the league. If this thing works out, you got a player who's in the MVP conversation, and he's the sun in the universe. Everything's revolving kind of around him with everything you do on offense. My concerns are the floor, which is to say, the offense they ran at LSU was not very National Football League-ish in the sense of the number of middle-of-the-field throws. Didn't really do that. The pressure-to-sack percentage we've talked about, the fact that he takes too many sacks, that he holds onto the ball, those are my concerns. That you said the name Justin Fields, I think?
Yeah, I said that's the floor for me, is that kind of player.
That's what it looks like, right? It is a QB who is a weapon, but after 3 years of doing the Justin Fields thing in Chicago, they're getting out of that business. And it's not just because they have the number one overall pick. I mean, look at what the league said when he was available.
Mm-hmm.
Does he make enough plays from the pocket? No. Does he process things the way that he needs to? Not yet. You know, maybe he eventually will, but he hasn't to this point. I also think he got a raw deal and probably developed about as poorly as you can develop someone by the Chicago Bears. But those are the extremes for Daniels as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I would echo those. I mean, to me, the ceiling is so tantalizing that I kind of say, damn the torpedoes, and let's see if we can get there, because the whole point's to win a championship to me, and let's try to find that.
That's but how a lot of people feel,
but
by
I'm
the way.
I'm very aware of the floor for him, and I think you have to be, right?
Do you agree with the premise, and I think these are pro-Daniels people, but that a lot of folks feel like his floor is higher than McCarthy or May?
See, I don't think that. And,
you don't.
No. And that's what I've been surprised
like,
by, Grant.
Fields is not for me. I don't think he's a good quarterback. He's not a particularly good passer. I don't want anything to do with him. But he's not a terrible football player.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the Bears, when he was really struggling over the last couple of years throwing the ball, and he got a lot better as last year went on to his credit, but they were still able to score points and mm-hmm. occasionally move the ball because he was a pain in the butt to defend.
Yeah.
Because he would run for 107 yards. And I guess the point is, if you've got that club in the bag, then it can't be a total disaster.
Right. So I see that. But I guess we're to the point now with Fields where he's not thought of as a starting quarterback. Right? I mean, the market just said that. The league just said, nope, we have an option. We could spend a third round pick and have him come in and start for us. And they were like, no.
It's because he didn't do enough as a passer.
Yeah. And so I guess what I say to Daniels, that's what I've been surprised in terms of the analysis of, again, smarter people than I am who cover this thing on a yearly basis, saying that his floor is actually higher than maybe some of the other prospects. To me, the ultimate floor guy is like a McCarthy. Like, I think that's what you're getting. You know, you want someone to throw 20 times a game, make you a couple plays, and not screw it up for you. And I know that sounds dismissive, but that dude just showed you at the highest level they got before the NFL that he can be the ultimate. I'll walk in here and be competent from get go.
College and doing that in the NFL are two extremely different things.
I would say so.
Typically, the guys that do that in college aren't NFL quarterbacks at all.
Well, let me try it a different way then.
You're saying stylistically, though, he'll be used the same way.
If you put J.J. McCarthy in a pretty good situation, like a Roethlisberger years ago in Pittsburgh, and have him do what J.J. McCarthy just finished doing for Michigan, I think you'll be in pretty good shape, right? So to me, like, the higher floor guys are guys like McCarthy, maybe even guys like May, just kind of walking in campus on day one. But the highest ceiling, maybe of anybody, might be Daniels.
What is the best case, worst case as a prospect, you think, for Jaden Daniels? What's that look like, the ceiling and the floor? Let's hit the MGM National Harbor listener lines and hear from you guys next. 800-636-1067. It's Pro Day today in Baton Rouge. The Commanders are there. They should be meeting with him in the coming hours in Louisiana. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.